the fruit of the Spirit is the natural product of a life yielded to God's control. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains God's process for growing spiritual fruit in our lives.
There will be some days where it won't be the monumentous victories, but I want to tell you, if you just keep sailing on and keep on being faithful, God will be faithful to you. Be faithful at work. Be faithful to your family. Be faithful in your stewardship. Be faithful in the area that God has blessed you with.
Every believer has the capacity to bear the fruit of the Spirit. In our series, Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows, we will learn how to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you want to learn how to have peace in the midst of a storm, how to keep joy when depression comes, how to practice patience through difficulty, and how to love the unloved, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called, Faith Grows Where the Stream Flows.
The Christian life is a journey of joy, it's a journey of faith. But the fact of the matter is that none of us can live the Christian life on our own. The fact is this morning that God, when He saves a person, the Bible says we are born again by the Spirit of God, and that God's Spirit comes into our life, and He wants through that Spirit to bear fruit in and through our lives. And so in reality today, it's not me living the Christian life. It is to be the Holy Spirit of God producing the fruit of the Spirit through me. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the fact of the matter is this morning that you and I will utterly fail if we try to bear this fruit on our own. We just can't do it. But the Spirit of God can produce this fruit and will produce this fruit through a yielded Christian. Now, sometimes in the book of Galatians, we read the word faith and it speaks about salvation or the gospel. But then here in chapter 5 and verse 22, the word faith means faithfulness in doing or in living the Christian life. In a sense, our faith should produce faithfulness. The fact that we are rooted in Christ should then bring forth fruit in our everyday living. And the Holy Spirit of God is the resource that brings the nutrients and the power and the strength through us, whereby that fruit may be very, very evident. Now, how many of you have noticed that there seems to be a short supply of faithfulness these days in America? It seems in the corporate world, you don't find a lot of faithfulness. It seems in family situations, you oftentimes don't find a lot of faithfulness. And so what we're going to see today is that by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God, faithfulness can be and will be evident in our lives. Faithfulness is doing our duty until our duty is done. That's how the disciples lived. And if you'll think about it, they really struggled until the Holy Spirit came into their lives. In fact, Jesus on one occasion in the Garden of Gethsemane said, I'm going to go up here and pray, and I want you disciples to stay here and pray a while. And when He came back, the Bible says those disciples were sound asleep. On some other occasions, as Jesus went closer to the cross of Calvary, His disciples walked away, and some of them even denied Him. What I want you to realize is that when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, He made all the difference in the lives of those disciples. It was because of His presence that they, many of them, and perhaps all of them except Judas, of course, died as martyrs of the Christian faith, faithful unto death. Many of the missionaries of old had this same characteristic of faithfulness. On one occasion, William Carey, the great Baptist missionary to India, while he was beginning his work, had been there several years and had seen very few people come to Christ. And he wrote a letter to a friend back in England and said, pray for us that we may be faithful to the end. Now this morning, the fruit of faithfulness. How many of you this morning would say, Pastor Chappell, I want to be faithful to God until I see Him again someday? That should be our prayer. I want to be faithful to God. I want to share a few things with you this morning about faithfulness. Notice in your outline, first of all, our example in faithfulness. Our example in faithfulness. You say, well, I know a friend that's really faithful. I know a pastor that's really faithful. I know a woman that's been so faithful. Well, I want to speak to you this morning about someone that is far beyond any human example. And that is simply this fact that God is faithful. God is faithful. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Hebrews 11:11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You see, God is a faithful God. When Terry and I came to Lancaster back in 1986, we began a journey of faith. We put our hearts and our entire trust in the Lord to meet our needs and to provide for this church. That journey of faith has been a journey that has allowed us to learn that God is faithful. In those early months, I remember specifically a few occasions when we really struggled and wondered how there would be even food on the table. I remember a night when we prayed for food on a Saturday night, and on that Sunday, that Monday morning, a man came by with a station wagon full of food from a church in the San Diego area. We saw God provide faithfully in our lives. Sometimes we struggle for physical provision. Sometimes we struggle for answers to various questions, but we have found that God is always faithful to his children. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now, I want you to know this morning that God is faithful. He is faithful during trials and temptations. Look in your notes there this morning, or turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Maybe one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says this, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, if you have that verse inside, I want you to read it with me this morning, all right? And so 1 Corinthians 10:13, ready, begin. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. You say, but Pastor Chapel, I have trials and burdens and you don't understand how heavy they are. I understand this, that God would never try you above that which you are able, that he is faithful to help in the lifting of those burdens. I heard of a mother that was putting her little 4-year-old to bed recently, and it was kind of a cold, dark, stormy night, And dad was off on a business trip. It was just mom and her daughter at home alone. And the little 4-year-old, as the light was turned out, she got a little bit frightened. And the truth was, mom was a little frightened as well. And the 4-year-old girl looked up outside the window and she saw the moon up in the sky. And she said, Mom, is the moon God's light? And the mom said, well, yeah, the moon is God's light. And she said, well, Mom, does God put out his light at night when he goes to sleep? And the mom said, well, sweetheart, God never goes to sleep. And then with a simplicity of faith, the little girl said to her mother, well, as long as God is awake, there's no sense in both of us being awake. Now, how many of you are glad tonight that God is always awake? God is always awake. He is always watching. He is always over us and faithful to us this morning. He is faithful during the trials. Secondly, I want to tell you this morning that God is faithful to forgive our sin. He is faithful to forgive our sin. Now, how many of you, since you became a Christian, have sinned? Very good. Some of you just woke up, and that's good too. Every one of us that are honest would say, since I became a Christian, there's some things I wish would not have happened. I want to show you something about the faithfulness of God. Look in your notes there to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad this morning I don't have to confess my sin to a pastor or a priest or someone like that. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is called in the Bible the great high priest, and that we can come directly to him and we can confess our sin, and we can know this, that He is always there, He is always faithful, He is always just, based upon the blood that He shed on the cross to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so this morning, we can know from the Word of God that He is faithful. He is immutable. He never, ever changes. In fact, the Bible says in Malachi, I am the Lord and I change not. God is faithful. But it's even better than that this morning because God's Word is faithful. God's Word is faithful. I'm thankful this morning that while culture changes and while people change and circumstances change, there is an eternal Word that I can open and I can know that His Word never changes. Psalm 119 and verse 86 says this, all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. Psalm 119, 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thank God this morning that He is faithful and that His word is constantly available and faithful for every one of us. In fact, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Now think about that. If we believe not, in other words, when we're a little wishy-washy and not where we should be, the Bible says that still He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. He remembers that day when you accepted Him as your Savior. And the Bible says no one can pluck us out of His hand. The Bible says He sealed that decision. And even when we're not living like we belong to Him, yet at that time He is faithful. Now how's that for a faithful God and for a faithful Word? Now, sometimes people act like God's Word is not faithful and they don't know if they can put their trust in Him. I heard of a man who told the story. He said there was a man who once met God and he said to God, he said, God, what is a million years to you? And God said, it's like a second. And he said, well, God, what is $10 million to you? And God said, well, it's like a dime. And the man said, well, then can I borrow a dime? And God said, just a second. Now, sometimes there are people who want God to do something for them right now. They want God to lift the trial immediately. They want God to solve everything right now. But I want to remind you this morning that God's delays are not God's denials. And that when it may seem to you like you're in a waiting mode, that God is still faithful at that moment. And that God is still working at that moment. And so our example in faithfulness is the God who created us. Notice secondly this morning, our exhortation to be faithful. Our exhortation to be faithful. Now, if you have your Bible this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, as we learn about the fruit of faithfulness this morning and how God exhorts us to be faithful. Now, doesn't it make sense that if we've been born again by the Spirit, no church can bring the new birth, but if we've been born again by the Spirit, then God's Spirit within us will help us to become more like the Lord as we walk in His Spirit. And that's what 1 Corinthians 4:2 is talking about. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found, what's the last word say? Faithful. Now, here's the requirement of the Christian life, okay? Let's just bring it right down to the bottom shelf. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. God is not asking you to have all of the talents or abilities or all of the opportunities even that someone else might have, but there is one universal requirement for the Christian today, and that is that we would be like Him in the area of being faithful. In fact, notice in your notes this morning, God requires faithfulness. God requires faithfulness. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. He doesn't require that you sing. He doesn't require that you give. He doesn't require all these things. Those are things that will come perhaps in some of your life, but He does require faithfulness to the Lord. We were visiting years ago, Yellowstone Park. And as we were on a family vacation, I think the kids were 4, 6, 8, and 10. We had done a little research as we were getting ready to go there. And we heard about a particular geyser called what? Old Faithful. Now, we didn't go to see Old Unreliable. I mean, we weren't going to spend a whole day wondering if maybe this water is going to start steaming up out of the ground. No, we went to see Old faithful. Why? Because in a very predictable fashion, about every 90 minutes or so, here you can stand around this national park area there, and the national park worker will tell you about Old Faithful, and he'll begin to time it down, and sooner than you know, here it comes, just as it says, Old Faithful. Now, most of us today would say, hey, I don't want to be called old, but I don't mind being called faithful. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a faithful husband. I want to be a faithful father. I want to be a faithful pastor. I want to be a faithful friend. And God says it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Now, let me give you a few thoughts about faithfulness and God's word requiring faithfulness. First of all, I believe God would have every one of us to be faithful in our workplace. Faithful in our workplace. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I believe if you're a Christian who's filled with the Spirit, that should be exhibited in a faithful work ethic and a faithfulness to do what you've said you will do. I believe God wants us, secondly, to be faithful to our families. I believe that a Christian who's walking in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but he will do the bidding of the Holy Spirit in his life, and that includes for his family. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And I believe as we walk in the Spirit, wives will be more faithful to their husbands and husbands more faithful to their wives. And I believe God wants you to keep on going forward as a faithful Christian. Perhaps some of you heard the story about the two frogs that fell into the bucket of cream. And boy, they were in there swimming around in this cream. And the first frog, he got discouraged. He said, this is nuts. Nothing's happening. I keep trying to jump up and I can't get out. I try to scratch my way up and it's too slippery. And so he got discouraged. And after a while, he just determined that that would be his fate. And he drowned in the cream. Well, the second frog, he said, now, I don't know what I can do, but at least I can keep trying to tread in this cream, and I'll just keep doing the best I can. And that's what he did. He said something might happen, and he just kept kicking and churning. And finally, he found himself on a platform of butter, and he jumped up out of the bucket and went on to safety. And I want to tell you, some days, that's about all you can do is just keep treading, right? Just keep treading. Christopher Columbus, many times in his daily journal, he just simply wrote out these words. He said, today, we sailed on. Today, we sailed on. There will be some days, some times in your life where it won't be the monumentous victories. But I want to tell you, if you just keep sailing on and keep on being faithful, God will be faithful to you. Be faithful at work. Be faithful to your family. May I say thirdly, be faithful in your stewardship. Be faithful in the area that God has blessed you with. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 16, or notice in your notes there, Luke 16, verse 10. Luke 16, verse 10. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? God says, if you'll be faithful in a little, I'll allow you to be faithful with more. And by the way, thank God that he is true to his word. And he simply says, when we are faithful to him, he will be faithful to us. And then I want to challenge you this morning, another area of faithfulness. I believe God would have every one of us to be faithful in our church attendance. Faithful in our church attendance. Look in your notes at a verse that is sometimes forgotten. Hebrews 10:25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God says, listen, as the day is approaching, as my return is drawing nigh, don't fall into this trap of lukewarmness that will come over many churches and many Christians, but so much the more we need to be faithful in this day. A pastor friend of mine did something last Easter I'm not sure I would have done. I hope he said it tongue in cheek. But he stood up after the Easter services. He said, for all the visitors, it's been great having you here today, and we'll see you at Christmas. Now, I don't know that that's the best diplomacy, but the fact of the matter is that sometimes we find in this day a lack of faithfulness. How I thank God for a church family that faithfully desires to hear the word of God. God requires faithfulness. But now I want to share something with you that I hope will be a blessing to you. You see, God never requires us to do something that he doesn't enable us to accomplish. God's calling always is accompanied with God's enabling. And so I want you to take note that God produces faithfulness. In other words, God doesn't just require it, but God's going to give you the desire and the ability to accomplish it. That's why it says in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, or faithfulness. You see, Ephesians 5:18 says it this way, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So as I am filled with the Spirit, I will be controlled by the Spirit, and I will have desires to be faithful where I normally would not have desired to be faithful. Now God is producing that desire within me. He's doing that good work in me that I could not have produced. And because of His Spirit working within me, I learn that faithfulness is the disposition of the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness is being created in my heart by God at work in my heart. How many of you can know and you can say, Pastor Chapel, there have been times in my life when God put a desire on my heart that I wouldn't have normally wanted to do myself, but I know it was God putting that on my heart. Isn't that a great thing? That's what God can do in your heart. You see, our example in faithfulness is God Himself. The exhortation to faithfulness is simply found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Now, let's notice something thirdly that many times we don't think about like we should, but that is our examination in faithfulness. In other words, if you are at work and something is required of you, then there will be an examination of that which has been required. If you are in school and there is something required of you at school, such as a term paper, there will be an examination of that term paper. Now, I had a friend in college once who was required to write a term paper on Old Testament history, and he thought he would write about whatever. He wrote about his pet dog, his pet cat, his grandmother. He was convinced that the professor never read the term papers. Boy, did he make a mistake. The professor examined his term paper thoroughly and gave him a mark according to his effort. Now, I want you to think about for these next few moments the fact that the Lord examines the faithfulness of His children. Why would He require something of us in faithfulness if He's not going to bother to take note? Now, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 again, and let's see what the Bible says in verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. So Paul says, it's not the biggest thing in the world for you to judge me. He says, I don't even judge my own self. He says, my assessment of where I am spiritually isn't good enough. He says, I don't know anything about myself that I know to be wrong at this moment, but he says, that doesn't justify me. Why? Verse 4 says, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Now let's say that together, ready to begin. But he that judgeth me. Now notice the phrase judgeth me. It is in the present tense. It implies a constant divine scrutiny. Paul said, hey, it's a small thing what these guys think. What really matters is that the Lord is constantly scrutinizing, constantly evaluating. He knows every missed opportunity. He knows every blunder. And He also knows every time I obeyed Him. And so we must come to a place in our lives where we realize there is a much higher standard than what someone else would say. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now notice there in verse 5 what it says. Therefore judge nothing before the time. Notice the next four words. Until the Lord come. Now that's what I want to talk to you about for the next 5 minutes. The fact that the Bible says the Lord will come. John chapter 14 and verse 3. Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
And my sin has been nailed to the cross of my Savior.
West Coast Baptist College's choir and orchestra have just produced a brand new music CD that Pastor Chapel would like to send you as a gift when you support this broadcast ministry. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
So many people request copies of Pastor Chapel's messages every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. That is why we have posted them on our church website, preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. This collection of messages is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. Log on today to watch or listen.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.